Welcome to Backyard Oasis, a podcast designed by and for older adults living in the beautiful Pioneer Valley of Western Massachusetts and produced in the tech studios at Greenfield Community College in Greenfield, Massachusetts. Backyard Oasis reaches out to older adults who seek knowledge to help them live more thoughtfully, healthily, and happily, who hope to inspire others with their ideas, and who serve their communities in the interest of the greater good. We hope you join us frequently in our pleasant backyard oasis for wide-ranging conversations with a diversity of people who are growing older and want to talk about it.
Hi, this is Denise Schwartz, your host. You know, my friend just had surgery. It was shoulder replacement. And when I talk about it and people ask, oh, how is he doing? I usually say something such as, oh, he's doing well. The surgery was successful. But you know, when his surgeon walked into the room, I was so surprised. He looked like he was about 18. Oh, yeah, well, people usually laugh when I say that. But you know, I was wrong to talk that way. My mentioning how young he looked is a perfect example of age bias. You know, it makes the assumption that the surgeon was too young to do his job well. I felt really bad about doing that, and I've told myself I'm really going to try hard not to do that again. It's something I have to learn. It's something we all have to learn. It's ageism. It's an ism, like sexism, racism, ableism. It's prejudice or discrimination on the basis of an attribute. We're going to talk about age bias and ageism today with my guest, Meg Ryan. Now, Meg is a registered nurse, and she's a public health nurse for the Cooperative Public Health Service at the Franklin Regional Council of Governments here in Franklin County. The Public Health Service serves 15 small rural towns here in this county, most of which have a large population of older people. Meg's been a nurse since 2011, and her entire career has been working with older people. She says she loves to work with them. She's going to tell us more about age bias and how we can change how we think about aging. Hi, Meg.
Hi, Denise. Thanks for having me on the show today.
Oh, you're welcome. You're going to be doing a lot of talking today because you've become kind of an expert on aging and age bias here in this area. I know that not everybody knows exactly what age bias is. I know a little while ago, I didn't know the term even existed. So let's just start with a definition.
Absolutely. Though expert might overstate my cat qualities here, I am certainly very interested in the topic and passionate about it. It's something that is affecting all of us, whether we're older or younger. A good working definition of ageism is that ageism is discrimination against older people due to negative and inaccurate stereotypes. You can break it down into three categories. A stereotype is how we think about something, our thoughts about it. Hmm. Prejudice and bias are our gut feelings. They're present without our intention. We often are unconscious of those biases and don't know they're there. And then the third thing is discrimination, actions we might take, sometimes without thought, that demonstrate how we think and feel. And again, how we think and feel is often unconscious. So we're going to be talking mostly about ageism against older people during this presentation.
Sure.
But I think that your story demonstrates really well that ageism works both ways. You know, we talk about, oh, those millennials sometimes. And yes, my neighbor and I have also joked about our physicians being, oh my goodness, they look about 14.
We can't do that anymore, Meg.
No,
that isn't fair.
It isn't fair. So I think it's important to just bring it to our consciousness rather than let it continue to be unconscious.
Can we look at those three things that you talked about and maybe give examples of what those might be, the three forms of... Was it bias that you said?
Well, the kind of the three components
the
of,
components.
Of bias. One is a stereotype.
Yeah.
You know, and that might be the stereotype that boys are good at math and girls aren't.
Oh, I see. Right.
Yeah.
What about in terms of older adults?
Older adults that I can't think of anything immediately, Denise.
Did you say it's what we think about or what we say?
It's what we think about something. So, you know, that first initial thought of your reaction when someone says older person or elderly.
Oh, I know.
Yeah.
Well, probably doesn't have an iPhone.
Yeah.
I've had people say that to me. Do you have an iPhone? Do you have a smartphone? And I want to say, doesn't everybody?
Well, also that assumption that being older means you're declining.
Exactly.
You have loss and only decline. And that the best times of your life are over. And that's not true. Actually, a lot of research shows that as we age, we get happier and happier. That there's a curve that we're happy when we're young. It dips down in our 20s and 30s. And then that trajectory demographically just keeps going up and up and up.
Why is that?
I think we learn a lot of wisdom and resilience.
Life experience tells us that.
Exactly.
This might be bad, but I've been there before. I know how to get through that, that sort of thing.
You know, the other thing that goes around, goes with the ageism of against older people, is that we live in a society that really privileges the ideal of youth, the attitude that youth is better than age, that we're better looking when we are smooth-faced with no wrinkles. So why do we do that? Why do we have that attitude that youth is better when, in fact, we get happier and more content as we age?
So why do you think we do? I mean, I know in other cultures, some cultures, they look at older people with reverence. You know, they think that it's okay to be older and maybe I can gain something from spending time with older people. Maybe it's okay. I don't even think the idea of wrinkles come up in some cultures. I don't know.
But that's certainly true. I, when putting together a presentation recently, I was looking for some images of happy older people. And when I Googled happy older people, most of the images that came up were actually Japanese people.
And that
is a society that reveres their older people. Which is great. So I think that kind of ageism that shows up in our culture is really promoted by a lot of the cultural messages we see surrounding us. Television ads, advertisements in newspapers, TV shows, movies. There are a lot of different projections of what older looks like, but a lot of them are negative. Too many of them are negative.
And they are negative. I think about all the products that we see advertised, or if you go into like your, I'm just going to say your CVS or your drugstore, your pharmacy, you just see shelves and shelves of anti-aging products as if we all need those. And that's giving us a message that, yes, indeed, we do.
Right, and it's even more concerning because a lot of younger women especially are looking for products that will prevent any kind of aging. You know, we're really living inside of a system of ageism, and it's not just our own personal thoughts, but we have a lot of interpersonal and internalized and institutional ageism. Interpersonal ageism shows up in our interactions among people.
Tell me about that.
So if you're socializing with an older person and you make that assumption that they can't possibly use a computer because they're 70 years old. But in fact, they actually invented that computer system.
Very good point.
Yep. Internalized is the most interesting piece of ageism for me. It's our own thoughts and beliefs about aging and older people, but it affects how we think about ourselves. And I've caught myself being ageist against my own self. I'm 62 now. Very proud of that. Thank you.
Congratulations.
And I realized that I was thinking about how I was out of shape last winter and thinking, well, I'm older now. It's harder.
Yeah.
And then I thought, you know what? Wait a minute. I'm out of shape because I haven't been exercising as much. It's winter. I'm not taking my walks. I have not been as reliable with my weightlifting. It's not just because I'm 62. It's because I haven't been putting the effort in.
So how do we, like, I can see how we would have to learn on our own to change the way we think about ourselves as we age. I think I saw a presentation of yours. You said something that was really great. I think it was the state of Maine. They issued a statement. It said, aging is so cool that everybody's doing it. And I love that concept. It's not just we get to a certain point and then we start to age. We age from day one. So why do we send this message out that aging is just this this place for people over 55.
Yeah, that's only decline. I actually think that advertising was from Ohio, I think.
Oh, sorry, Maine.
No, it's
sorry,
okay.
Ohio.
Maine is doing some really cool things, too. But the advertising was aging so cool. Everybody's doing it.
And I
agree.
Love it.
I love it, too. And that kind of advertising is a great way to fight against, you know, interpersonal, internalized, and institutional policies and practices. Because there are a lot of institutional policies about aging. Older workers tend not to be hired. The assumption is that they're less flexible, that they won't be able to learn a new system as quickly. Maybe that's true, and maybe it's not. Sometimes our experience allows us to put things together faster and learn a new system more thoroughly, better.
Good point.
But I think a good example of institutionalized policies is airline pilots. My brother's an airline pilot, and he was forced to retire at 65 just because he turned 65. There were no tests about reaction time or sight or anything. He turned 65, and boom, done. And I think that's a loss.
That's,
you know, regardless of your experience, it's really a waste of that experience.
A waste of experience, and that was probably a regulation that was put into effect many years ago. When people didn't realize that, you know, there's that saying, you know, 80 is the new 70, 70 is the new 60. When people really did think that when you hit 60, you couldn't do anything anymore. You were going to sit down in a chair and watch television for the rest of your life. But I've noticed that as people go on and they get to know more and more people who are in their 70s, 80s, even 90s, they start to think differently about what aging really is.
I hope so.
So how can we get that message out there, especially to those institutions, the media, so on, about how they might want to change? You know what comes to mind for me? Do you remember that Dove soap commercial that first, and it wasn't just for soap, but it was also for the other Dove products that was looking at women primarily of all shapes and saying that these products were meant for everybody and look at the beauty in everybody. And that was the first commercial that I think I remember seeing that kind of combated shapeism or weightism.
I love that commercial series that Dove put out because it did have women of all sizes and shapes and ages and colors.
Yes.
And I think it did a really good job of showing real people. And I think that's the kind of thing we need to do to fight ageism. I think the first step, the most important step, is to recognize it when it's in front of you or when you're participating in ageism. You know, it's an example of implicit bias, a bias that's just completely unconscious. An example of an implicit bias is you are in a medical setting and a man walks into the room and there's a quick instant assumption that he's going to be the doctor. For some of us,
yes,
still, and even when but then you think, well, no, I don't know this person's role. Could be the nurse, it could be the medical assistant, it could just be the janitor.
Oh, very good point.
Though I hope the janitor's not walking in when I'm in a room waiting for a provider.
Or maybe, I don't know.
And a woman walks in, and you might make the assumption that she's the nurse.
She's the nurse,
and you just don't know. So, you know, all isms are kind of surrounding us culturally. It's the water we swim in, and our attitudes about it are built from our experiences and, as I said, usually unconsciously. We're culturally shaped to value youth and avoid appearing old because of the messaging that's around us. Step two is kind of our own internalized attitudes that travel with us wherever we go. We have to be very conscious of those. Step three is our interactions with people of a similar cultural experience where we reinforce each other's stereotypes.
Oh, you know, do we do that? Oh, you look good for 63, Meg.
Exactly.
Oh,
thank
boy.
Thank you. Or not really.
I know, really.
I think 63 ought to look good. I think we ought to value those wrinkles that we achieve by living a life really fully. You know, another example of stereotypes that surround us are birthday cards for older people.
Oh, aren't they horrible?
Some of them are truly horrible, but there also are some that are incredibly positive. So, you know, buying those cards and sending them, and let's face it, a lot of them are funny. A lot of comedy is against, you know, negative.
And we know that
some things, it makes us laugh.
It does. It does make us laugh. But some of the stuff is true. Like, you know, we do start to hurt as we get older. I was thinking this morning, but do I hurt any more now than I did when I was like 40? Do I? I don't know. I think some of it's true. But we have to accept that and not make a point of it and then assume that everyone who is of a certain age is going to be this way.
Right, that our knees are going to hurt because we're now 70.
Well, right.
So what if your right knee hurts and yet you say, oh, it's because I'm so old now. Well, I'm sorry, how about your left that doesn't hurt? Yeah, your left knee is just as old as your right knee.
I love that example. That's a really good one.
And then, you know, step four is kind of that reinforcing cycle where we all continue to just not question those negative attitudes in our culture. Again, done unconsciously. So really the first thing you need to do is to just become aware of ageism. One thing you could do is think about keeping an ageism journal for a day or two or a week.
What's that? And
you could note every thought or image or other example of ageism down, and then think about whether that's a negative or a positive attribute of ageism, and then think about whether that's actually true. So it's just a way to become more aware of your own perceptions and the cultural perceptions that are around us.
And you're right. If we start to look at our own way of looking at aging, and we can change some things. Like, I fully intend to change the way, you know, the example I gave, how I looked at that surgeon and said, oh God, he doesn't look any older than 18. How can he possibly perform surgery? If I can look at how I do that, maybe that's all we really can do. It's a good start.
It's the best start, yep. I mean, one thing we do know is that ageism is incredibly pervasive. There was a poll that showed that adults who are 50 to 80 years old and older overwhelmingly experience ageism, and including our own ageist thoughts against ourselves. And it is, as I said, the only bias that will inevitably turn against ourselves ageist. So we have to just be very aware.
So if we're going to look at ageism and just look at the positive gains of aging, not just the losses, because we know loss is associated with getting older. We can't pretend that things don't happen as we age. When people say, oh, it's just a number, part of me says, no, you know, it's a number, but it does reflect a reality. We have been on Earth a certain number of years that somebody else has not been. And so losses come with that. But sometimes we learn from our losses, and then that becomes a positive.
Yes, that's a beautiful way to say that. And I don't want to sit here and just be Pollyanna about aging.
Yes,
there are losses that come with it, and real losses, losses of people, losses of function, loss of ability. But we are so used to focusing just on the losses that we miss the benefits, and there are so many.
Do you want to talk about what some of those benefits are before we say adios?
Yes, I do. There are a lot of health effects of positive attitude about aging. There was a decades-long study of almost 700 people that showed that those with positive beliefs around aging lived 7.5 years longer than those who felt negatively about it.
Well, we're going to be around a long time then.
Yes, we are. and that advantage remained after age, gender, socioeconomic status, loneliness, and the will to live were accounted for statistically.
Wow.
If you have a positive attitude about aging, you'll have lower blood pressure and lower stress levels. Also, those with positive age beliefs, and sit down for this one, were 50% less likely to develop dementia than those with negative age beliefs.
Now, I would really like to know why, but that's another conversation, I guess.
Well, don't you think our expectations shape what actually happens sometimes, whether they're negative or positive? If we believe we can do a thing, we have a better chance of being able to do it than if we don't believe we can do the thing.
But actually, I believe that to be true now that I'm at a certain age, more than I did when I was younger.
Oh, yeah.
I really do, because I think I've seen it happen. You know, when you're younger, you don't really see how those things change, how what you think becomes kind of part of your reality, not all the time. But yes, I do. I see how thinking more positively can be a benefit. Yes, can be a benefit.
Definitely. You know, there's a reason that as we age, we are happier. We are better at attaining contentment.
Yeah.
We actually do better at accenting the positive, too. The amygdala is the area of our brain that consolidates emotion and memory, and it's less reactive in older people to negatively charged situations than in younger ones.
It is?
Yeah. Remember when you were a late teenage or early 20s and you just got so riled up
about everything?
Everything.
Yeah, right.
Well, part of it's our experience, but part of it is that our amygdala is less reactive, and I am very much enjoying that.
Let's find out why. I'm really curious about why. Maybe somebody can let us know what that is. It's probably a chemical change or something, but I'd like to know why that is, because I experience it too.
Yeah, it's wonderful.
Yes, you just don't get as upset about things as... That doesn't mean that you don't get upset.
Yeah.
But you don't get as upset about things and you think about them, I think, a little bit more before you react.
Yeah, you do. We're more resilient. We also have better inductive reasoning. We're less likely to rush into judgment and more likely to think about something and... reach a correct conclusion based on the information instead of our knee-jerk emotional reactions.
Instead of our emotions. That's a very good benefit.
I mean, our emotions are important too, and that gut feeling is real, but that can be really an enormous help in everyday problem solving, whether it's in a work setting or your life setting.
You know, you're making me feel really good about future.
Good.
You know, and so maybe what our job is to just internalize what, you know, all of this, think about what you and I have talked about right now, and use that in our conversations whenever we can in a gentle way.
Yes, I agree. To look for the positive and not just focus on the negative, I think it goes a long way to changing how we feel about aging. It really has been shown to be true that you can change your attitude about aging from negative to more positive by doing exactly this, by looking for the positive.
Well, you know, as we're getting ready to wind down now, I wanted to ask you what you think is the most effective way. I mean, I'd love to go out and change the world immediately and so that people didn't look at aging in a negative way. But what can I do now, today, to be more, to be able to affect the folks that I know and have them get this message that let's look at aging differently, let's frame it differently. What can I do?
I think that's exactly right, is to find all the ways you can reframe it to be more positive.
And do I talk to people about it, or what should I do? What should you do? What should we do?
There's no one answer. Continue to look for the positive. I mean, one example I have is being careful about your language. You know, you don't want to turn into the language police, but you do need to be mindful. You know, the phrase, I'm having a senior moment, leaps to mind, because many of us use that, and it's often done humorously and in a self-deprecating way and lightheartedly. But at the essence of it, it means that seniors aren't able to remember something, period.
Yes, you're
and
right.
It's a lack of ability. But why not say something like, I'm having a memory moment, or...
Or give me a minute to think about that.
Well,
give me a minute to think about that. Yeah. Oh, where did I, what did I just say I wanted to do? Oh dear, you know, senior moment. No. How about just saying, okay, brain, take a minute to think about that.
Well, I also have been using the term brain fart since I was in my 20s. Just having a brain fart here.
No.
I don't know if that's radio appropriate.
No,
but
it's fine. Well, so let's do this. Let's have another conversation sometime about word usage and reframing aging, okay?
Let's do that. Okay. Love to. Thanks for having me today, Denise.
Oh, you're so welcome. And I'm just going to tell you right now, I'm leaving here and I'm going to go for a big walk, and later I'm going to go for a dance class. How about you? You want to join me?
Sure. Sounds great. I love dancing. See you
See
there.
Bye-bye.
This concludes today's podcast. We're always looking for new ideas, so feel free to reach out to Judy Raper, Associate Dean of Community Engagement at Greenfield Community College, at 413-775-1800. 1-800-878-1819 if you have an idea you'd love to share. Special thanks to the creators of Backyard Oasis, Denise Schwartz, Chad Fuller, Dennis Lee, and Christine Copeland. Have a great day.